Hello and good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. Welcome you today, October 24th, 2021. It is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. A few announcements to start off with. We have Bible studies going on here at Stavanger. The Bible study series, Jesus Wins, a Biblical Overview of End Times Prophecy, will be Tuesdays at 10 a.m. in person and on Zoom, and at 7 p.m. in person. You can contact Pastor John for location and other details. We also have a Wednesday night Shady Oak Bible study, 7 p.m. If you're interested in the Shady Oak Bible study on Wednesday night, you can contact me. Mark your calendar this Thursday, 7 p.m. We have our deacon board meeting. Deacon board meeting Thursday at 7 p.m. You'll see Operation Christmas Child. We're asking you to bring items for shoeboxes to a designated table in the church basement by November 7th. You can see Joy for more details on that. And in your bulletin, there is an insert for shoeboxes, Operation Christmas Child. The Sunday school children will be packing shoeboxes during Sunday school on November 7th. So please have those items in before then. Okay, and please join us after the service for fellowship and coffee downstairs. As you may note, the offering plate is not passed around during the service. It can be found in the entryway. Next week, we have a guest missionary to Haiti, Ryan Bittner, will be joining us next week. Finally, in our announcements, you may see in the entryway the CLB Forge, equipping, growing, and molding. Forge ahead. Got some more details about that on a video that we can check out now.
When we think being a part of a church plant, we think of something new, something exciting, where there's an overflow of a desire for a new community to come to know the Lord. Is your church operating like that today? Would it be possible for it to return to that passion? Today we're going to hear a story of a church that did just that.
Grace for many years has probably been like most churches, where we gather Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and it's wonderful. It's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's more to being the church than just gathering together as a group of believers. There's more.
It's great that we're all here in church, but the mission field is beyond those four walls.
In just thinking and praying about going out and reaching out, it has... It's turned many, many of our people in our congregation just alive.
You know, different people have kind of gone off with different projects and tried to make an impact.
It's so friendly at Grace. It feels like you're part of a family. Immediately we made friends. We got invited to a group right away and it really brought us in and it was really wonderful.
When we started talking about going to a different community, the talk was multi-site. Lincoln is about 5,000 people or so right now. We get here, there wasn't a school when we started here. Now there's an elementary school, and now it is the largest attended school, elementary school in the Bismarck Public Schools. So this community has young families, lots of kids, which is why we gear much of what we do for kids.
When it first started, maybe we had 20, 30 kids on a given Wednesday night, and it just multiplied to where we'd easily have 60 kids.
With the partnership of North American Mission, we have purchased land in Lincoln, approximately 6 acres. On that land, we would love to build a building to do all this. Volleyball leagues, basketball leagues, whatever. Keep our kids going. And then, of course... have a church where we hold regular worship services, reminding people, maybe even telling them for the first time, that there's a God who loved them so much that he came to die for sinners just like them.
You see behind me the overflow of what God has done in Bismarck. Someday in the near future, there will be a community center and a church here. What would overflow look like for you and your congregation? In North American Mission, we'd love to come alongside and partner with you to make revitalization happen in your congregation as well. And if you have the ability, if God has gifted you with financial means to support the planting and the revitalization of churches in North America, please join us as we forge ahead.
Let us begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hear the call to worship from Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." Let's take a moment of silence.
I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. You may be seated and continue singing with us, yet our eyes will be Christ in you.
Thank you.
confession of our sin, I will read under the heading Pastor. Please join me in reading aloud under the heading Congregation. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. By your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, your will, true obedience to your word. By your grace, we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us now confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated. Take this time to pray together. Does the congregation have any special prayer requests? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can gather today under the hearing of your word. And so, believe and be encouraged and be equipped for the day. Lord, we praise your great name. We lift to you all our burdens, all the strifes that we face, and our weariness, illness, loss, the burdens of this life. And we turn to you, Lord. And we hope in you. Through the trouble, we know that you have good news. Lord, lift up our community, our town, our state, our nation, and the world. All peoples. We pray that you would call people, Lord, into your mission to take part in the work of Jesus Christ, to seek and save the lost. Lord, may we hear your word. As Pastor Eric delivers the sermon today, may we hear your word. May we be instructed by your word. And so, Lord, we pray in the manner you taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Yes, and at this time I would like to invite Pastor Eric Reese for today's message from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52.
Good morning. Well, as Giovanni just said, we'll be reading from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, and I'd invite you to please rise for the reading of God's Word. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In our gospel passage today, Jesus and his disciples, and likely many in that large crowd that surrounded them, they were passing through Jericho as they made their way to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. And on this road, just outside Jericho, sat a blind man named Bartimaeus. And he was begging as people passed by, and as he heard that Jesus was passing by, he began to shout out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Apparently, there were many in the crowd who found this pretty annoying because they tried to shut him up. They rebuked him and tried to silence him. But Bartimaeus was persistent, and it says that he began to shout even more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This ended up paying off for Bartimaeus because Jesus actually stops for him. And I think we've all been in a situation kind of like this. You know, you're waiting in line at the grocery store or some other store, and suddenly this disgruntled customer makes their presence known, and they're getting kind of noisy. You can tell that they're upset. And sure enough, even though you've been waiting, someone will come out and they'll help that person because they're making such a ruckus. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. Well, here Jesus has stopped for this squeaky Bartimaeus. When he heard that Jesus was calling for him, Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and he sprang up and he went to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, in the section just before our gospel reading for today, we find this same exact question. Jesus asks this same question. And there are only two times in the entire Gospel of Mark where Jesus asks this exact question, and they're both found in chapter 10 here. So I think it's important for us to notice this. I think it's important for us to see that these two questions are connected. So if we flip back to verse 32 of chapter 10, Jesus, for the third time now, he tells his disciples exactly how he was going to be betrayed and condemned, how he was going to suffer and die and be raised from the dead. And right after that, in verse 35, it says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." So in our text this morning, you might have noticed Bartimaeus answers this question in a very different way. When Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus replies, "Rabbi, I want to see." So James and John, when they answer this question, they were seeking exalted positions that would bring prestige, while Bartimaeus comes seeking mercy and sight. Bartimaeus couldn't see a thing, yet it seems that he could see more clearly than anyone else in this story. He did not just call out to Jesus as he would have any other passerby. He called him the Son of David. And in those three words, we find a confession of faith. Bartimaeus was confessing that Jesus was the promised Messiah. So Jesus restores Bartimaeus' sight, and he tells him, "Go, your faith has healed you." Now the word translated as "healed" here can mean that. It can mean a physical hearing or healing, a restoration of sight like this. But it's actually most commonly translated as "saved." In fact, there are some other translations of the Bible that translate Bartimaeus, or Jesus' response to Bartimaeus here, as "Go, your faith has saved you." And here we once again see the connection between faith and salvation. Jesus did not heal Bartimaeus because he had something to bring to the table. Bartimaeus had nothing to offer Jesus, but he had faith. Faith that this guy, Jesus, was the deliverer, his deliverer, the one who would rule as king in glory over the entire earth. The same is true for our salvation today. We are not saved because of our worth, or because of what we bring to the table, or because of what we do, or because of how good we are. We are saved when we realize that we have nothing to offer. When, in desperation, we turned to Jesus, our deliverer, and ask him for mercy. Here, Bartimaeus seems to do exactly what Jesus asked the rich man to do earlier on in the chapter. You remember, this man came to Jesus, this wealthy man, and he asked him, "What do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God?" And eventually Jesus ends up telling him, "Go, sell everything that you have, and then come and follow me." And the man went away really sad because he was wealthy. But here, Bartimaeus ends up doing exactly what Jesus asked that man to do. When Bartimaeus heard in our passage, when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was calling to him, he threw down his cloak, which is the only possession of his that is mentioned in this passage, and he runs to Jesus. Even when others attempt to silence him, he continues to cry out. He drops everything and he goes to Jesus. And once he is healed, he continues to follow Jesus down that road. There's a tendency that pastors have when they preach on this passage here to make the point of this story, the point of the sermon, all about Bartimaeus. Probably because Bartimaeus sets such a good example for us. We get time and time again the disciples just not getting it, but here Bartimaeus gets it right. Many sermons are largely an exhortation to be like Bartimaeus. Call out to Jesus like Bartimaeus did. Have faith like Bartimaeus. Drop everything and follow Jesus like Bartimaeus. And while all of those exhortations are admirable and they're good, they're things that you should do, I don't think that that's what the passage is mainly about. I don't think it's mainly about Bartimaeus, but about the one who heard him crying on the road. It is about the Son of David, who hears the cries of the afflicted and meets them with mercy and salvation. It is about the one who walked down this road on his way to Jerusalem, knowing exactly what was waiting for him. Betrayal, rejection, condemnation, torture, and death. Knowing all of this, Jesus marched into Jerusalem not for his sake, but for the sake of all of those who walk with him, including us today, so that he might bring victory over sin and death and the power of the devil through his resurrection from the dead. The last words of Martin Luther that he spoke before his death were, "We are beggars." This is true. Like Bartimaeus, we are all spiritually blind. We are unable to believe in or even come to Jesus on our own. But by his word, through the Holy Spirit, we are given new life. God creates faith in our hearts, and we are turned from ourselves to Christ, our Messiah. Even though Jesus was on his way to the cross, even though he's on his way to the most important event in all of history, Jesus still took the time to stop for this blind beggar. The poor, the sick, the blind, the oppressed, the outcast, these are the recipients of God's grace. Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but to call the sinners, those who recognize their need of him. The prideful and self-righteous leaders rejected the kingdom that Jesus proclaimed, and they received blind eyes and deaf ears, while blind Bartimaeus regained his sight by crying out to Jesus for mercy. The good news for us today is that Jesus still hears us. He still cares. He still stops. And he still listens. And he still saves. He still speaks his word to us today. And by it, we are healed. By his word, by his grace, we receive salvation. Let us pray. Lord, we are needy beggars who have nothing to offer you. So we cry out, Son of David, have mercy on us. We thank you that you still hear us when we cry out to you, and that you still stop and listen and save us. In your gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Eric. Congregation, please rise for our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Lord.